Christ, who left his home in glory and upon the cross was slain, now is risen. Oh, tell the story that the Savior lives again because of this wonderful truth that we're together here this morning. He is our hope. Let's begin the service with singing. One this morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful morning to worship and praise our Maker. This morning I'd like to for us to take a look at the apostolic passion. We might ask the question, what is apostolic passion? And so I'd like to look at verses throughout Acts. I'm just going to read some verses here and there in Acts. And we want to get a picture of what the apostolic passion looked like. And what does it mean to us today? In Acts 1, 10 and 11, it says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, two men stood with them and said, 'Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?'" This same Jesus. If you can picture that, here were the apostles gazing into heaven. Well, what had just taken place? Jesus had ascended. And then two men, I don't know, did they notice the men were there till they spoke? I'm not sure. But they told them, this same Jesus. And then verse 13 and 14 we read, "And they went into the upper room. These all continued with one accord in prayer." The response was prayer. Jesus ascended, and their response was to gather, and in one accord they met in prayer. And then in 2:38, here we have Peter speaking to the people. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins." Again, a response. You know, nothing else can happen until we come to Jesus and have him deal with our sins. Sin is what comes between us and our Lord. So we need to come in repentance and have remission of our sins. In 2:41 and 42, here it says the people gladly received the word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. The apostolic passion. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then in chapter 2, verse 43, it talks about fear coming upon every soul. When they began to see Jesus, who was Jesus? Fear came upon every soul when they realized the impact of sin in our world, in our hearts, in our lives, and how sin needs to be dealt with, and how God's judgment is on sin. Then a reverent fear came over them, on every soul, it says. And in chapter 4, 19 and 20, here again we have a response. And it gives us a glimpse into the apostolic passion, into their hearts. They said, "How can we but speak the things we have seen and heard?" You know, what's in our heart? How can we do otherwise than let it come out? It just has to be expressed. Our hearts would explode. And then in chapter 9, 20 and 22, Paul preached Christ. Paul preached Christ. And here The people, all who heard him, were amazed, and they asked, "Is this not the great destroyer, the one who destroyed? What happened? What happened to this man? He was out destroying the followers of Jesus. Now he's preaching him." You notice Paul's passion? And in Romans 15:20, the same Paul, who's now preaching Christ, the one that had been the destroyer, he says, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been planted by someone else." He had his heart of passion was for those that have never heard. Floyd McClung works in South Africa among the poor and the unreached people there in South Africa. And here he says the term passion is used to describe everything from romance to hunger pangs. And he challenges us. He says, "I don't know what it means to you, but for me, passion means whatever a person is willing to suffer for. Whatever a person is willing to suffer for." In fact, that's the root meaning of the word. It comes from the Latin word, which means to suffer. It's what you hunger for so intently that you're willing to sacrifice anything to have it. Anything. It's what you hunger for so intently that you will sacrifice anything to have it. Do we have the apostolic passion? Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to sacrifice anything to have it? Gary Wilkerson, the son of David Wilkerson, said, "You can endure a lot of suffering when your heart is set on purpose. You can endure a lot of suffering when your heart is set on purpose. But if your heart is set on comfort, you can't endure suffering at all." What is our heart set on? I love this testimony David McCaslin gives of a man by the name of David Shum. He said, "At David Shum's memorial service, we celebrated the optimism and perseverance and faith of a man with severe cerebral palsy. For all of David's 74 years, the simple tasks of daily life, the things that we take for granted that we can do, required great effort. And through it all, he kept smiling and helping others. He gave more than 23,000 hours of volunteer work at a hospital, along with encouraging teens at risk." What a testimony of God's grace and perseverance in suffering. Here was a man that just the simple things of life took great effort for 74 years, and he served. He served others. He served with a smile on his face. Did he have the apostolic passion? I believe he did. What an example. You know, really, the apostolic passion has to do with being committed to the point of death to spread the glory of Jesus. Wherever we go, to spread the glory of Jesus. It's the quality of those who are on fire for Jesus, who dream of the whole earth being covered with the glory of the Lord. Do we dream that? Do we have that quality? Do we dream of the whole earth being covered with the glory of the Lord? We're not satisfied if there's a dark spot somewhere where God is not being glorified. Floyd also says, he said, I know when apostolic passion has died in my heart. Do you and I know when apostolic passion has died in our heart? He said, it happens when I don't spend my quiet time dreaming of the time when Jesus will be worshipped in languages that aren't yet heard in heaven. If that isn't happening, he knows he's lost it. And he said, I know it's missing from my life when I can sing about heaven, but live as if earth is my home. Apostolic passion is dead in my heart when I dream more about sports, toys, places to go, and people to see than I do about the nations worshiping Jesus. I've lost it too when I make decisions based on danger involved, not on the glory that God will get. If you will not suffer and sacrifice for something, you're not passionate about it. Is that statement too strong? If you say you will do anything for Jesus, but you will not suffer for him, then you aren't really passionate about him and his purpose on earth. If you don't have it, then how do you get it? If we find ourselves on the lacking side, how do we get it? You know, a lot of things, we're told you can call an 800 number and get it. But how does this thing, passion, grow in our life? For me, one of the things I'm motivated when I read the Apostle Paul and read of his passion. But you notice, how did he find it? How did he get this passion? I think you'll agree with me. He intentionally chose it. It was a choice. When God approached him on the road there to Damascus, he said, "What do you want me to do? Who are you?" He made a deliberate choice. And in Romans 15, I already referred to that verse, that his passion was to make Christ known. It began with that revelation of Jesus there on the road to Damascus. But he continued to nurture it. You know, Paul, not only did he encounter Christ on the road to Damascus, but he kept meeting Jesus every day and the moments throughout the day. Knowing Jesus and making him known consumed Paul's life. Read that in Romans 15, 17. And he said, by comparison, everything else was dung and garbage. What a comparison. There was no lukewarm part in his life, in his heart. But he knew how to categorize the good, the right from the wrong. Human enthusiasm cannot sustain apostolic passion. You know, we can try to work up our own enthusiasm and get out there and do all kinds of things. But God invests his own passion in us. He wants to build and develop what he puts in our life. It's not something we can muster up with human enthusiasm. Now, there are four things that are life-changing. We see them in the apostles. And I think they need to apply to us. The first one we see is apostolic abandonment. You know, too many times we'd like to have the fruit of Paul's ministry without paying the price that he paid. You know, he told us, he said he died. He died to everything. He died daily. Are we willing to pay that price? He was crucified with Christ. He abandoned his life. He abandoned himself. He let God fill him with God's desires. The second life-changing thing is apostolic focus. And I think one of the greatest enemies to see Jesus worshipped in the nations is simply a lack of focus. We might go shadow boxing, run here and there. But are we focused on what God wants to do in the world? You know, we can run around expanding our energy on all sorts of good ministries and good things and not get a step closer to the nations with the gospel. So we must focus. If we don't focus, we won't obey. God wants a people for himself. He wants a people who will obey and worship him. He wants a people for himself. He wants a people who will obey and worship him and obey his word. That's what he wants. Are we focused on what God wants? And three, apostolic praying. There was a young man in Bible school. He came to David Wilkerson back in the days when David was working in the streets of New York City. And he said, I want to join you on the streets. And David asked the young man, he said, well, how much time do you spend in prayer? The young student thought a bit and he estimated, well, probably about 20 minutes a day. And Wilkerson told him, he said, go back, young man, for a month and pray 2 hours every day for 30 days. Then come back. Then I might consider turning you loose on the streets where there's murder, rape, violence, and danger. If I send you out now on 20 minutes of prayer a day, I'll be sending a soldier out without weapons, and you'll get killed. You know, Paul, what did he say? He said, I prayed day and night. I prayed with tears. I prayed without ceasing. Fourth thing, apostolic passion is decision making. It starts with a passion for God's glory and asks, where can I serve? It's a decision to be sold out for God, to be sold out completely for the Lamb of God. And the greatest dream is that his name be praised in the whole earth. That was a challenge to me, to just take a fresh look at the apostolic passion. And I think it's something we don't want to ignore. It can change our lives. It will change our lives. Let's kneel for prayer, and I'd like to ask Marvin Yutzi to lead us.